Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now listen to what Paul says and pay careful attention to the second verse. Finally, my brethren. Isn't that funny that he says, finally, my brethren, and yet we're only halfway through the book? We have all of chapter 3 and all of chapter 4, nonetheless. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Very simple little outline, very little simple statement here, but boy, there's power in what he has to say. The title of this message today is Beware, 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 from verse 2. Now, throughout Paul's letters, you find warnings to watch out for certain people. And oddly, Christians just read right over these verses as if they aren't even there, and go on trusting blindly anybody that says, I'm a Christian, or who has a fish on the bumper of their car or on their business card. Now here he says, beware. Now what do you think he wrote that for, if there wasn't going to be trouble from the inside and also from the outside of that church? He told the elders in Ephesus, over here in Acts chapter 20, about this kind of trouble, about the kind of thing to beware. He says in Acts chapter 20, in verse 29, he said, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. 3 years, Paul, night and day, warned everybody with tears to watch out for the grievous wolves that would enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That's attack from the outside. And of your own selves men would arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. There's trouble. There's trouble when you're a Christian. You become a sheep. You're a lamb. And there's trouble from the outside. There's trouble from the inside. Paul says, beware. Jesus told his disciples to beware. In Matthew chapter 16, the disciples are traveling with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells them on the little journey, he says, Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And then he explains what he meant by that. Verse 12, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, what did he say? He said, beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Something that would leaven up the lump of pure unleavened bread. That is, of the pure unleavened bread of those disciples and their doctrine. Now, I'm going to get on the soapbox with Paul and with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you, beware. Because Jesus Christ told his disciples to beware. Paul told the Philippians to beware, and I'm going to tell you to beware. Didn't Paul say, follow me? Jesus Christ said, follow me, I'm going to follow them. And help out today with our Christian brothers and sisters. You've got to beware. Paul wouldn't have written that, and Jesus wouldn't have said that if there wasn't something to watch out for. Now, what are you to beware of? Well, he gives you three things in verse 2. Number one, beware of preachers that are lost. He says there, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Now, dogs are an appropriate designation for a lost man. We're sheep. We're sheep. I'm not a dog. I'm one of you. I'm an ensample to the flock because I'm part of the flock. I'm a sheep. Meh, can't you tell? I don't woof. Woof, woof. Now, what scares sometimes people that hear me preach on the radio is they say, why, he's not loving. He's not kind. He's not sweet. He doesn't use one of those voices. That's not because I'm a dog. That's because I'm aware of the fact that most of the men that are talking like that are after something other than giving you the true words of God. I'll just come straight out and tell you, you got to watch out for preachers that are lost. And that's an appropriate description for a lost man, to call him a dog. Jesus Christ referred to the Syrophoenician woman as a dog. He said, the dogs. It's not meat to cast the children's bread to dogs. She was lost. But then she said the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the Lord dealt with her. She was a Gentile. Over here in Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, talking about the city, he says, without her dogs. And they're grouped up with sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie without her dogs. Now, preachers that are lost are dogs, or like dogs. It's an appropriate description. Look, go with me over here to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And look at this passage of Scripture. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 is typically used by those who believe you can lose your salvation as a passage of Scripture to prove that you can lose your salvation. But it has nothing to do with that because the whole context is about somebody that's not even saved. The context is false prophets and false teachers. Now look at this. In verse 1, he said there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now look at verse 22. The last verse of the chapter, in the context of false prophets and false teachers, says this: it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. See that? So to have Paul say in our text, beware of dogs, is a cue, is a cross reference, is a signal, it's a type to let you know you got to watch out for preachers who are lost. You say, are there lost preachers? Probably 60% of the preachers today are lost. I say that, you know, because you got lots of men that are preaching in lots of different kinds of pulpits. Man, you got Unitarian, you got Presbyterian, you got Methodist, you got Catholic, you got Baptist, you got Seventh-day Adventist, you got Jehovah's, man, you got all kind of things out there today. Pentecostal, you got the whole thing. A lot of men that are in pulpits today are not saved. They really aren't. You say, well, I just can't see. I know. That's why Paul told you, beware. That's why Jesus said, beware. And he called them dogs. That's not a reference to Christians. Now, what do these guys do, these lost preachers? Well, he says here in verse 1, they bring in damnable heresies. They deny the Lord that bought them. That is, Jesus Christ paid the price for everybody, but not everybody will trust Jesus Christ. They deny the Lord that bought them. In verse 2, many people follow them. And what kind of ways do they have? They're pernicious ways, very harmful. All right, in verse 3, they're covetous. That's their motivation. Through covetousness shall they, with feigned words. They use words, and the words sound good, but they're faking you out. Listen, haven't you ever heard a con man? Con man's good, boy. He's got a great line. He's convincing. What do they do in verse 10? They walk after the flesh. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. They despise government in verse 10. They're self-willed in verse 10. They're adulterers in verse 14. They speak very great words, great swelling words of vanity. They're great orators. They can really shell it out, but not in the way that a real preacher would. They speak in order to entice you. They talk of liberty in verse 19, and they even live clean in verse 20, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look, I tell you what, there are a lot of people that name the name of Jesus who live a pretty clean life on the outside. Listen, the cleanest people, the squeakiest people of clean nature back in the old days when Jesus Christ were here were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but they were hypocrites. They were clean living. And then notice, even the women are involved in verse 22. The sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So it's not only men that are involved in this, but also women. And you know what? The Bible says, cast not your pearls. Pearls are a type of saved people. Cast not your pearls before the swine. Now, let me ask you a question. You see all this description of this lost preacher here, damnable heresy, denies the Lord. Many follow him. Many follow him. That means most of the churches are filled with people that are following the lost preachers. Covetous, feigned words, walk after the flesh, despise the government, self-willed, adulterers, great speakers, talk of liberty, live clean, and their women are involved. I want to ask you a question. Can you discern, based on that description, who these guys are? If you can't, you're blind. And the Bible says, the blind lead the blind. That's the problem. So many people today have been following these guys. Listen, I was talking to a lady just the other day who had a chance to go to church up in Houston, went to a community church. Used to be a Baptist church. They took the name off. They didn't want to be associated with the Baptists anymore. They wanted to keep the Baptistic doctrine, but they, quote-unquote, didn't want to scare people away. Went to a community church. There was not one soul of the 300 people that attended the church that day, there was not one soul in the congregation that had a Bible. They had a study sheet. They filled in the blanks as the preacher took them down on a lesson about not stealing. They had the jazz band, the whole works up there, you know, the praise and worship leaders and the whole thing like that. And, of course, they had the offering. It was more subtle. It stuck it in the box in the back of the church. But, nonetheless, don't forget to make the offering. Now, what kind of church is that where a preacher will come and preach to people that don't bring a Bible? Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And yet the people come without a Bible. That's a strange thing. That is a very strange thing. I went to church for years as a young boy and never took a Bible to church. Didn't know I was supposed to. Church didn't say anything about it. And evidently, the man who was preaching to all those hundreds of people that went to the church I did when I was a kid was a lost man because he never said anything in all those years that I went there about how to receive Christ as my personal Savior through faith like Paul did all through the New Testament. So there are preachers who name the name of Jesus, speak very well, but they're lost. And Paul said, beware of them. Beware of dogs. Now, are you going to listen to what Paul said, or are you going to go on blindly following that man that you've been following? And don't forget to get the women involved. They had them involved when I was young. They taught in our school. They've got them in these churches today, the women, and they're up there, and they're co-pastor of the church. And that's a strange setup, according to the Bible. Now he says, beware not only of dogs in Philippians chapter 3. You say, preacher, you're being rude. You know something? It sounds that way when I take the time on this radio broadcast to warn you of the very thing that Paul warned you about in Philippians. We're just teaching through the book. And it just so happened that we've landed on chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and Paul says three times to these Christians, watch out. To the Ephesus leaders, watch out. And the Lord said to the disciples, beware. So sure it's going to come on like I'm being rude, and I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm being very earnest and very desperate. You could easily be sitting under a lost preacher, and what are you going to get from the Holy Spirit from his preaching? I can't make that judgment. I don't know if you are or not, but here's the list of things, and those things are listed for you in 2 Peter chapter 2 to give you some idea to watch out for. And if you're sitting under that kind of preacher, Paul said, beware. And he doesn't say that unless there's going to be problems. Paul said there are grievous wolves that come from the inside, and then there are people that raise up from the inside to draw away disciples after themselves. You better watch out. All right, now the second thing he said to beware of is not only the dogs, but beware of evil workers, preachers that work evil. Beware of preachers that work evil. Now, there are a multitude of evil things that preachers can get into. One of the big ones that's hit the news media in the last year is child molesting. Child molesters. Listen, if I were sitting in a ministry because of family ties and upbringing and tradition, and I knew that the bishops and cardinals or whoever they are had been hiding child molesters from parish to parish because they wouldn't discipline their own men and face up to that fact, I'd leave. Now, that's me. I'm not telling you that's what you're supposed to. That's me. I would leave. And the reason is, Paul told me to beware of evil workers. And child molesting is an evil work. As a matter of fact, it's illegal in this country. At least it has been up until now. So, but I just love this and that. I understand that. But this deal is wrong, and that is aiding and abetting a criminal. And Paul said, beware. That's all I'm telling you. Child molesters. And hey, just get this straight. That's not just locked up in one church or one group of churches. That thing is probably going on in other churches as well. You're starting to see more and more of that come up related to other denominations. And when you see that, you just got to keep your eyes open. This is a very dangerous day and age in which we live. That's why that Bible is so very, very important. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." I think that Bible ought to be open on the pulpit. That Bible ought to be in everybody's hand. That Bible ought to be read every single day to keep down this fleshly nature that we have. All right, the second kind of preacher thing that he can do to work evil is adultery. There are child molesters. There's also adulterers. You know, I heard of a case, fundamental preachers had some kind of a brothel in their church. When a visiting evangelist would come in, he could have sex with some lady in the church. Isn't that insanity? But that's the day and age we live in. Idea of preachers messing around with women in the church, that's insanity. That's not supposed to be there. That's an evil work. And Paul said, you better beware of evil workers. What other kind of evil work can preachers get into? Thieves. Child molesters? Adulterers? Thieves. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14, Jesus Christ is getting down on those Pharisees, and then he called them a bunch of thieves in so many words. He says here, well, and it's when he took that scourge and he ran them all out of there and all those changers of money and everything, he said, "You've turned my Father's house into a den of thieves." He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." They just buttering up those old widows to get a hold of the money. And that's what Paul said. You better watch out. Talking to a fellow the other day, he was telling me about a preacher down in Mexico, got a large congregation up. Then he stepped out and committed adultery. The church found out about it. Then he stole all the church's vehicles and sold them, pocketed the money. Now he's trying to sell the church's property and pocket that money as well. Had a preacher come in from the Philippines one time, wanted to raise a bunch of money to build a church. Had an opportunity to go over to the Philippines, kind of went up into that area, found out that some of the money had been used for the church, but most of the money had been spent to build the man a nice house. At least that's the way it appeared, because the church wasn't finished, but all the money was gone. Several years later, he wrote back, and all the churches wanted more money for the church, to finish the church. That's pretty strange. I heard of a preacher one time got in financial trouble, opened up accounts in two different banks in the same town, and started a kiting racket to cover the deficiency. That's crazy. Heard of other preachers just pocketing the money. What is that? Thieves. You better beware of preachers that work evil. How about deceit? Deceivers. Deceivers. These days, the days we live in, I realize this is enough to scare you off, but let me tell you something. You check that church out based upon what they do with this book, and you check that church out based on whether or not they follow this book, and you'll be all right. And you stay on your knees and you ask God's blessing upon that pastor and the people in that church, and you ask God's protection over that church so they don't fall prey to some kind of snare laid down by the devil. The tough days you're living in, tough days we're living in, perilous times, Paul called them. 2 Timothy 3:13, he told you, evil men, that's what he said to do, beware of evil workers, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's a tremendous amount of deception going on today. And he said one of the telltale signs is this seduction, seductive nature. You know what? I get that idea sometimes. I'll honestly listen to a radio broadcast or listen to a television broadcast from some television preacher or radio preacher. And honestly, I hear a seductiveness in the voice. There is a there's a sensuality to it. It doesn't sound right at all. It sounds like the smooth lip of a man that's trying to steal some money or steal the virginity of a woman who unwittingly falls into his trap. I listen to a lot of it from time to time, kind of keep up with what the men are doing. I'll tell you honestly, it don't sound right to me. It don't sound right to me at all. They change that Bible and they get that seductive thing and then they put a little ploy in there or give you an offer and try to get some of your money. It makes me wonder what they're in the ministry for. To spread the gospel or to make money. Honestly, to listen to the voice only, it's seductive and it sounds like deception. That's all I can tell you. Now, you listen to the doctrine, you can tell some of that stuff is way off, but that's obvious. That's obvious. Deceivers, adulterers, child molesters, thieves, beware of evil workers. Beware. That's what Paul said. Now, what else did he say? He said, beware of the concision. Well, that's like the circumcision back here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. You beware of preachers that want to put you back under the law. You beware of preachers that work evil. You beware of preachers that are lost. And you beware of people that preachers that want to put you back under the law. In Galatians chapter 5, and we already studied that not too long ago, Paul said that if you want to be justified by the law, Christ has become of no effect unto you because you're fallen from grace. And Paul preached against trying to be saved by circumcision, and that got him in bad trouble with those preachers. Listen, Jesus Christ said, think not that I've come to destroy the law. I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And he did. So that when we read about the law and its effect on Christians in Romans chapter 10, he said, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. When Christ fulfilled it and I receive him, I have his fulfilled righteousness of the law in me. And I don't need to keep the law. What law is kept by the grace of God operating in me. In James chapter 2, verse 10, James told us that if you break any law, you're guilty of breaking all the laws. It doesn't make any difference which law you break, and there's not a man on this earth that can keep that law. Jesus Christ already did it. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Listen, if you're trying to keep the law for your salvation, then you've put yourself back under a curse according to Galatians 3:10. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You've put yourself back under a curse. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Beware of preachers that are trying to justify you by putting you back under the law. Beware of preachers that work evil. Beware of preachers that are lost. That's what Paul said, and that's what I'm telling you to do. Say, well, what's the solution? Well, it's found there in verse 3. Worship God in the Spirit. The Samaritan woman said to the Lord Jesus Christ, at the woman at the well there, she said, well, we're supposed to worship God in this mountain, and y'all say you're supposed to worship God down there at the temple. And Jesus said, The time's going to come when they will worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, you should have enough discernment by a King James Bible and enough discernment by the Holy Spirit to know whether you're worshiping in the Spirit or worshiping in the flesh. The problem is these guys had confidence in the flesh. They were worshiping in the flesh. And there's a tremendous amount of it going on today. I had a fellow one time told me that he was pastoring, and he had a construction crew, and he couldn't get the guys that were working with him to come to church. And one Friday night, they decided they were going to go to a revival. He said, "What in the world got into you?" He said, "Well, we're going down to such and such community church." "What are you going to do that for?" He said, "Well, they got a big revival down there." And he said, "Don't you know, preacher, one of the easiest ways to pick up a woman in this town is to go down to one of those revival meetings." Now, what kind of testimony is that for that church? Isn't that insane? So that church wasn't in Texas. No, you're right. It wasn't in Texas. Further west of here. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going on. It's going on. Lots of flesh. Next thing you want to do is rejoice in Christ Jesus. In other words, when Paul preached, he said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all he ever put up was Jesus Christ. Not the programs, not the quality of your work, not the size of your building program, not the size of your worship center, not the size of your gymnasium. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. And put no confidence in the flesh. Those are the three solutions. Because Romans 8:8 puts it this simply. God grants you enough wisdom to know when what you're doing is in the flesh and when what you're doing is in the Spirit of God. And God grant me the same wisdom. Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'll tell you what, boy, we're living in a very, very difficult age. And that's why Paul told them 2,000 years ago to beware, and that's why I'm telling you to beware today. Beware of preachers that are lost. Beware of preachers that work evil, and beware of preachers who put you back under the law, because you cannot be saved by keeping the law. No way, no how. Simply by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ plus nothing, or you're not saved. Now, if you need help in finding out whether you're saved or not, or if you need spiritual help to get saved, call us.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.